Into our second hour. Welcome back, or good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are. I'm Jim Rome, live in the Quicken Loan studio. It's Apply Simply Understand Fully Mortgage Confidently. We are talking more Ryder Cup in a minute. Meantime, Mark in Hollywood getting a ton of love on Twitter. Tommy tweets, well done. Penn State still sucks, but nice take. At Real Eric J tweets, Husker fan here. Best call I've ever heard. Mark now owns Buckeye Nation. At Joe Rainey 4, Mark in Hollywood is the best I've ever heard. Fancy Sauce tweets, that Mark dude was great. I second everything he said. Hilarious. Signed, fellow Big Ten Suckeye hater. Fake Kellen Winslow tweets, while I dislike Mark in Hollywood, I have to admit that that take was incredibly good. It was a strong, strong call. But I'm not hating on that guy ever. I need good calls, and he's one of the best callers in the history of the program. The guy came out of nowhere to win the Smack-Off in 2013. As promised, we are joined right now by a senior writer for Golf Channel. He is Rex number 7. He is on site in France for the Ryder Cup. Golf Channel will replay day one of the Ryder Cup tonight from 8 p.m. to midnight Eastern. NBC Sports will air live coverage Saturday from 3 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then Sunday singles matches from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. So you are covered. Rex Hoggard is my guest. Rex, it is so good to have you back. How are you? How was your day?
France is awesome, man. I mean, Paris is beautiful. And, oh, yeah, there was a good match going on today, in case you didn't notice. It's been a lot of fun.
No, I did notice, and Paris is awesome. All right, so before we get to the carnage of the afternoon session, Rex, take a step back and take a look at the big picture for a minute. First off, how would you describe the course at Lake Golf National, and what impact does that have on the two teams?
Well, you've got to give the European Tour and European captain Thomas Bjorn credit. They've set up a course that plays into their strength, which is driving accuracy. It's good ball striking. I mean, we saw it particularly this afternoon in the foursome sessions. You put a guy like Phil Mickelson, who's had a very good year, but let's face it, Phil doesn't drive the ball straight. And he put his partner Bryson DeChambeau in a lot of trouble this afternoon, and I think you saw it across the board. I think the general consensus is the Americans are bombers. They love to play golf courses in the United States, which sort of prompts you to do that type of thing, and the Europeans weren't going to have any part of it. So give them full credit for setting up a golf course that was going to take away the American strength and give it the best opportunity to the Europeans. It's an awesome course. I play golf for fun, though, and that does not look like a fun golf course if you're offline.
Rex Hoggard joining us. All right, I'm going to follow you up on that in 1 minute, but let me ask you this. One of the issues for the American team has been the complete inability to win in Europe. Everybody's got their theories as to why that is. How would you explain it, Rex?
Well, I think part of that is what I just said. I think the European Tour is really good at sort of making the most of their home field advantage. I mean, the crowds around the first tee this morning, they were unbelievable, and they were like that all day long, and it's hard to get away from. And I know certain players, Patrick Reed immediately comes to mind, really loves that atmosphere, but it wears on you after a while, and I think that's part of the conversation. And the other half is, these are about as two evenly matched teams as I've ever seen. This is my 7th Ryder Cup, and I don't remember ever going down lineups like I have this week, thinking each one of these could be a coin flip, that there's no clear advantage for either team. And well, I really believe what we're going to end up with is one team will have a 1-point, 2-point lead going into Sunday, and that's going to decide it, because I don't know that either team is going to be able to run away with it.
Rex Hoggard is a senior writer for GolfChannel.com. He is live. He is covering the Ryder Cup. Going back to Patrick Reed, Rex, Tiger and Reed was the only American pairing to lose this morning. What do you make of that combination?
It kind of looked good on paper, and I understood where Jim Furyk, the American captain, was coming from. I think Jordan Spieth and Patrick had made a great pairing. I mean, if you look at their record, it's absolutely phenomenal when you consider how young they are in their Ryder Cup career. But I think Jim saw an opportunity to break things up a little bit, and I think Tiger was, at least on paper, a perfect fit for Patrick. I mean, Patrick brought so much energy to it, and he really thrived on the emotion of it. And then you put a guy like Tiger Woods next to him, and you would have thought that that would have carried him forward. But both of those guys came out flat this morning. And, you know, you don't want to say that one or the other is default. I just don't think either one of them meshed very well. I'd be really surprised to see them back out together, simply because it just doesn't seem like a very good fit.
Rex Harder, my guest. All right, we'll see if they go back out. But listen, at the same time, it was still a very, very productive morning. The U.S. won by 6 points 2 years ago at Hazeltine, and then there was a ton of momentum coming into this week, especially when you looked at the rosters. Now, I know, I hear what you're saying, that they are evenly matched, but when you look at the rosters and you look at the way things started off this morning, they get off to that 3-1 start. At that point, what were you thinking when they started so well?
Well, it's a dream start for Jim Furyk and his team because, as you pointed out, it's been 25 years since they've won on foreign soil. I mean, if you look at the makeup of this team now, I mean, nearly one-third of the team were in diapers the last time the United States won on over here in Europe. And I think that's a huge mental block for them. So for them to get off to that good start was very, very encouraging. It seems like Jim Furyk had come up with a couple of pairings that we were a little surprised by. I think putting JT, Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth together was an inspired move. I would fully expect to see them again. And then Ricky Fowler and DJ turned out to be a very strong pairing. So they took a lot from that morning. It was a familiar story in the afternoon, though.
Yeah, but Rex, I mean, as familiar as it was, there have been issues in the afternoon, but even then, the European team had never whitewashed the Americans like they did in the afternoon. Exactly what the hell happened in the afternoon for the Americans?
Foursomes. I mean, alternate shot just absolutely kills the Americans for some reason. And I kind of jokingly wrote earlier that the American Task Force, which is credited for good reason for turning things around and leading to that victory in 2016, maybe they should have introduced some sort of foursomes curriculum to potential players coming up from the ranks right now, because it's just a format that the Americans just can't seem to figure out. And you look at how well the Europeans played. I just did the math. I think the four European twosomes that played this afternoon in foursomes play were a combined 4 under par. The four American twosomes were 11 over par. Hmm. I mean, it was an amazing difference. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, but Rex Harder joining us. I mean, the thing is, it wasn't just that the Americans were struggling, and yet European players like Rory, who did not have a good morning, that suddenly were on fire. How were they able to turn it around so quickly?
I think for some reason they feed off this format. I think the same thing it does to the Americans, it makes them a little bit tighter, it makes them a little bit nervous. It seems like you're constantly apologizing to your partner because you're putting them in a bad position. The Europeans seem to thrive on it. They seem to love the opportunity of the challenge, and you have these ready-made pairings. I mean, Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose have always been good at this, but coming into this week, Henrik's been hurt. You weren't quite sure if he was going to be a good fit. You weren't quite sure if they were even going to end up together. And they absolutely roll in the first match out. As you pointed out, Rory really struggled this morning. He didn't play well. I walked with that match. He was down on himself. He had slumped shoulders. And yet you put him with Ian Poulter in that format, and it just seems to inspire them.
All right, so when you mentioned that he was down on himself, he turned it around. Talking about Jim Furyk, what do you think that he is going to say to the team, or what did he say to the team after today's afternoon session, and what's your sense as to the mood among the American players right now?
I really think Jim Furyk is going to go down as one of the better American captains of a generation, and that's including Davis Love, who I thought did a brilliant job in 2016 and in 2012. But he has a message. He has stayed on his message all week long, and my guess is he goes into the team room this afternoon, and it's pretty simple. It's ignore the noise. Don't pay attention. You're going to hear everyone talking about it being 25 years, what you and I are discussing. You're going to hear about how we struggle in the foursomes format. But I think he really wants them to look at themselves and realize that you are the best players in the world. Now, the team we have right now, I think you can make a really good argument, is the best American team, at least in a generation. We have the world number one. We have Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. We have so many major championship winners. And Tiger Woods is back on form. So I think he tries to make them realize that you lost the momentum this afternoon. You lost the lead this afternoon. But there's still an opportunity tomorrow. And that's what players like this live for.
Rex Harder joining us from France. He's covering the Ryder Cup live. Rex, before you go, you mentioned Spieth. How does Spieth look to you right now on the course?
He looked a lot more comfortable this morning, in the four-ball session than I remember him looking before he got bounced out of the playoffs. He was a big question mark to me coming into this. I mean, let's face it, this has been an off year for him. And he was probably going to put a lot of pressure on making this a good end to the year. And the only way he could do that is to perform here. I think it's been an inspired pairing, putting him and Justin together. And he played really, really well. He did what Jordan Spieth normally does this morning. He made a lot of putts, chipped in. He got the crowd quiet, and I think that's one of the things that he truly relishes.
Hey, Rex, help me with this. There seems to be a tradition that European players who are not exactly household names just suddenly turn into monsters at the Ryder Cup. Exactly how does that happen?
Well, I think when you point in the best example of this, and I wrote it earlier in the week, and we always talk about there's going to be a European rookie that suddenly is going to become a household name in the United States. And I picked Tommy Fleetwood. By the way, I also picked Phil Mickelson to be the man of the match. So I'm far from perfect on this front. But I really feel like Tommy Fleetwood had the game to come here. He wasn't going to get overwhelmed by the moment. He plays really well with the partner they put him with, who is Francesco Molinari. They may be the strongest European pairing, and that's phenomenal when you sit and think about how many strong pairings they have down that team. But, I mean, actually, I just got the pairing. So they are going to go out tomorrow, and they're going to go back out against Tiger Woods and Patrick Reed. And it'll be a huge test for him. And he has performed at every level. I don't expect for a minute to see him not perform again tomorrow.
All right, so finally, if you've got the pairings in front of you, are there any strategic changes that Furyk is looking to make to start, or is it a matter of the Americans just playing better than they did?
I think because of the success they had this morning, we ended up with virtually the same pairing. So, yeah, Brooks Koepka with Tony Finau. They won the first match out this morning. They looked very solid together. DJ and Ricky, they performed really well in the four ball session, as I said. Tiger Woods and Patrick Reed, and then Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas in the anchor match. I think those were his strongest pairings coming into this week. He knows he has to pick up momentum again. He knows he needs to make the most of the four-ball session, which is what the Americans excel at.
He is a senior writer for Golf Channel, Rex number 7. He's had a long day doing a great job. He is on site in France, live for the Ryder Cup. Rex, my man, that is one of your truly great hits on this show. I really appreciate you doing that. Thanks so much. Great job.
Thanks, Jim. See you, man.
You got it, Rex. Have a great weekend. Well done. Golf Channel is all over this. They're going to replay day one of the Ryder Cup tonight from 8 p.m. midnight Eastern. 8 p.m. to midnight Eastern. NBC Sports coverage, where live coverage Saturday from 3 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then you've got the Sunday singles matches from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. All right. Where do you come out? Did you watch it? Totally different afternoon than it was in the morning. But then again, this is what the Americans do. Got off to a great start. Now, they got off to a great start on foreign soil, which was awesome. Could not have gone any better. I would have taken that all day long. As I mentioned, you start off 3-1. If you do that again, then the thing's over tomorrow. If you even have the matches in the afternoon, you're still in a great spot. Instead, they get whitewashed. And that never happened before. Dear Romy, I love Jim Furyk's amazing coaching strategy. Guy puts that war pig Phil out in the afternoon just to expose him for how bad he really is. Phil is going to single-handedly lose the Ryder Cup for the United States. So in a weird, strange twist of events, I'm actually rooting for Hefty. Signed, Tyler in Shredminton.
You know, toughen up.
You know, you're not playing. You know, he's sitting now. But Hefty's done enough damage already. He was horrible. I mean, I don't want to come right out and say a guy was horrible, but he was horrible.
Hefty.
Hey, Rome. Team USA. Look at the Canadians just piling on. First Tyler in Shredminton, then this. Rome. Team USA does not need to worry about the Ryder Cup struggles. USA is still the undisputed champion of buffet endurance, fountain soda cup size, and jowl inflation. Matt in Vancouver. What's your point, Matt? And? Dear Jim, coffee or beer? Coffee. Signed, LeVar Ball's Teeth. Brett from Bugahaw, premium content provider, and L.A. Coliseum trip survivor. Dude, there is no premium content in saying that LeVar has yellow chiclets. Not on this show. That's not considered premium content. I just looked into the monitor. Yo, Flight Deck, what's up, kid? I forgot today's Friday. James Kelly in the house. How come none of you were talking about the Flight Deck?
Here we are.
Chris no longer in St. Pete tweets. Give me beer, vodka, bourbon, and gin. Signed, Brandy Travis. At JKaylee66 tweets, Furyk will figure it out. Signed, Napoleon at Waterloo. Way to get historic with it, Kaylee. All right, so it's going to set up essentially the same way, except Hefty will sit. What do the Americans do tomorrow? Is it going to get better? They're going to have to play better. Can't get any worse. Two totally different days in the same day. They look great in the morning. Alternate play is not good for them in the afternoon. And they get whitewashed. Shut down. 4-0. Terrible look. And here we go again. Hey, look, Rex Hoggard is much more prepared, much better prepared to talk about this than me. I didn't really see it that way. I really thought the Americans coming in on paper looked much better. Much better. To me, it looked like it would be the Europeans' last stand. I mean, these guys, the guys that they're running out there in large part have been there before, done that before, but this is their last stand. They're old. They're weathered. They may have had another good run in them, but I didn't think they matched up as well, and it was going to be their last run. Yet, here we are. And they just seem to throw the switch. They show up in a different way. So we'll see what kind of grit and heart we have. Hey, Hefty, thanks for nothing. Hey, Tig, such a good story. And the Ryder Cup record does not lie, right? And you can't blame that on his partners. Not in part, not in full.
Yeah,
it happens. It happens to you all the time. However, you were not as bad as Hefty. You know, when Brooks Koepka hits somebody in the gallery and knocks her out and she's bleeding and he gets rattled, you know it's not a good thing. This guy normally is unflappable. All right, so we're open until the middle of hour number three, meaning you should call me right now. L.A. is a football town. Since a lot of you smart Alex are not buying that, I think I'm going to hit you with that when we come back. Like it or not, here it comes. This is again turning into a football town. I got a message for you. Never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. Like, you think it makes you look kind of hip and casual, but more than likely, it makes you end up looking like a slob. You know, a lot of these shirts, you can't just untuck them and say that's what they're made to do, because they're not. Untuck It knows this. Untuck It makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. You can't just untuck your shirt, because in a lot of cases, it was not meant to be worn like that. Untuck It knows this. Shirts designed so well that GQ calls them perfection. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. And not only do they look good, but they feel amazing. Impeccable craftsmanship and attention to detail make Untuck It the only choice for the untucked man. More than 50 sizing options, so every guy can find the perfect shirt. Log on to untuckit.com. Check out all the new fall arrivals. Use the promo code ROME20 and get 20% off your first purchase. Or check out Untuckit at one of their retail stores nationwide. There are more than 35 of them. Untuckit.com. Use the promo code ROME20 and get 20% savings. Untuckit.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
At TFP Will Eat tweets, war a whose house? Ram's house! Billboard across James Kelly's forehead this weekend. If you're watching CBS Sports Network, there's Ross. That's not the right guy. There you go. Good. Well done. Look at Alvin bailing out the TV guys. Wait. Panning over. That's Chael Jr. That's not... Alvin. Can't wait to find out what's next. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you know what we're doing here. Camera pans. There he is. The flight deck. What's up, JK? Damn, dude. Your forehead's huge. What's up, bro? James Kelly's smart, man. Of course. Look at the size of his head. He's the smartest guy ever. James Kelly is nails on the NFL. This guy knows more about the NFL than Sean McVay and Bill Belichick combined. Look at his head, man. You know how much knowledge you can cram into a head that big? I love James Kelly. One of my favorite XR4 TIers ever. You know, there is no better place to watch football than on James Kelly's head. No, that's not what I meant. There is no better place to watch football than on the big screen that is James Kelly's head. No, Buffalo Wild Wings. Of course, I love Buffalo Wild Wings. There's one right around the corner from where I live. If you love football, yelling at TV screens with friends, and wearing clothing with somebody else's name on it, then there is a seat waiting for you at Buffalo Wild Wings. You will not want to miss a single game this season with their wall-to-wall TVs. Come in for their football food and their football beverages on their new $5 game day menu. $5 38-ounce pitchers, a Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light, $5 craft and import talls, including Blue Moon Belgian White, Sam Adams Boston Lager, $5 cheeseburger and fries, $5 brat and fries, $5 select cocktails. Do not forget their traditional and boneless wings with 21 signature sauces and seasonings. Escape to football and the new $5 game day menu at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, and football. When football's on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Prices and participation may vary, subject to restrictions. Limited time only, not valid with any other offer, and you want to make sure that you drink responsibly. L.A. is a football town. So, I mean, after watching last night's game, my only question is, when did that happen? When did L.A. become a football town? I think it just did. In fact, I know it did. Did you see the crowd shots late in the game? And I know, hey, Rome, they're all Viking fans. They were all Viking fans. No, they weren't. There were Viking fans. There were Viking fans. Of course. That stadium holds like 400,000 people. You're going to get a few Viking fans in there. I'm telling you, did you see the crowd shots? And I emphasize, late in the game. That's how you know this is becoming a football town again. Not because of the size of the crowd, which was huge, and not because of how loud they were, because they were, but because they were still there late in the fourth quarter of a game. That tells you, I mean, a game that was in the bag. Late in the game that was already over, LA fan was still out in force looking to party. That's how you know this is becoming a football town again. This team had problems drawing even last year, and now they're getting 72,000 strong. Did you see that place rocking at the two-minute warning? And if LA is now a football town, and it sure as hell looks like it is, it's because the Rams are running the LA playbook to perfection. From the moment it was announced that LA was getting the NFL back, I said, if you're going to get this, you have to do it the right way. And the right way is you throw money at it, you stockpile stars, and you win. But it's not enough just to win. You have to win the right way. You have to win with a certain swag and a certain style. You have to light up the scoreboard. This is an event town. Your games have to be events. Just moving the chains is not enough. Just winning is not enough. Got to see some pyrotechnics. You see, the Lakers, for instance, the Lakers were not the Lakers back in the day because they were stacking Larry O's. I mean, that helped. But they were the Lakers back in the day because they were the Showtime Lakers. Magic, orchestrating the break. The motivational guru with the Hollywood good looks on the bench as head coach. All the A-listers showing up every single night looking to see and be seen. That's L.A. That's what you need in this town, and that's what the Rams have. Again, they're running the perfect LA playbook. The greatest show on turf and Showtime all rolled into one. Oh, and they've got defense that's going to wreck fools and embarrass people. And yes, they have their own genius coach. Yes, I said it. The word gets thrown around a lot, way too much. But Sean McVay is literally a genius. And I don't need to see any of his absurd memory tricks to know this. Watch how this guy calls the offense. Look what he dials up. See how he leads that team. Genius in action. And they've got their stars. You have to have stars. Todd Gurley and Cooper Kupp were good last year. Then they added Brandon Cooks in the offseason. Hey, you think the Patriots might be able to use a wide receiver like Cooks right about now? Genius. What about the alleged genius that is the Hood? If the Hood is so smart, how the hell did he let Brandon Cooks get away? We already covered Jared Goff. In other words, there was also this thought that the Rams would take over when they went into their new shiny palace. They're not waiting for that, are they? Man, they're smart. They're getting right after it. They're not waiting to move into the new stadium. They're doing it right now, and they're doing it the right way. So if any of you, either in this town or outside of this town, were still wasting my time by saying, I'm still not sold, let's wait and see. Let's wait until they beat somebody who matters. Let's wait and see if the dream team approach works in the NFL. Let's wait and see if they hold this thing together. Let's wait and see what happens when they're hit with adversity. If any of you are doing that, no names mentioned, Trevor Price. If any of you are doing that, you can wait all you want. I've seen all I need. I've seen all I need in order to know that these cats are for real. They've got a brilliant plan. They're working it to perfection. Last year was great, but it was no one-off. It was not a fluke, and this year is better. And it's not enough just to have talent and style to win over this town. You need confidence, and the Rams have confidence in bulk, yo.
Yo.
Todd Gurley said it best on the NFL Network postgame show.
Any team can be beat, but nah, we can't be beat right now.
That's about as LA as it gets. Any team can be beat, but nah, we can't be beat right now. That's about as LA as it gets, and it's awesome. And it's true. Things can change, but right now they can't be beaten. They just put up 38 on a defense that everybody had thought was pretty good. They've gone for 33 or better in every single game this year. That's how you end up with Robert Woods celebrating touchdowns with celebs in the end zone. That's happening now. That's how you get Danny Trejo showing up early to the stadium with a Gurley jersey. It was never about the NFL coming back to L.A. You knew that would happen because the NFL always wanted L.A. The question was whether L.A. wanted the NFL. I was skeptical of that myself. But now it does. Now it does. And like it or not, L.A. is a football town again. Yo. Ram it. They've been bumping that song all night long, all morning long. That song's never sounded so sweet.
Yo.
Go ahead, jump in there if you want. Sing along. Sam Farmer coming up next hour. He's the LA Times NFL columnist. I know he has thoughts. I know he has thoughts. Sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS's Super Bowl season continues with a great doubleheader. You've got the undefeated Dolphins going to New England for an AFC Eastern showdown. Pats need to win badly. You've got Drew Brees coming off a big-time overtime winning touchdown and setting the NFL's career completion record. New Orleans goes into New York to battle Eli and the Giants. And the day kicks off with the NFL Today, which is presented by Jeep. Yeah, 12 Eastern. 9 Pacific. Like it or not, fellas, I'm coming not this weekend, but next weekend. I will be in New York. Chris in MD tweets, coffee or beer? I'll take the alcohol every day. Regards, Cuddy Sark.
Get ready to ride on, baby. Let's go!
I've got some Joe right now, actually. Some bullet coffee. I do not like cold coffee. I've never been a cold coffee guy, but I can't lie. I've been slamming the bullet coffee. It's good. Bulletproof, I should say. Bulletproof.
Coffee's for closers only.
This tweet is from I'm Not Hawk's Twin. No beer, no coffee, no problem. Cron is all I need. Signed, Hawk. I don't even know that he does. He's kind of got this rep. Then again, I don't know that he doesn't. I just don't care. The only way to find out is to ask him, but that would mean talking to him, and that's just not something I want to do. I do want to talk about CeCe Sabathia. CeCe Sabathia. I've always liked CeCe a lot, going all the way back to when he was a young member of the Indians. Came in studio with my guy, Ryan Garko. Garko put that whole thing together. Garko brought in CeCe and a couple of other teammates. And they actually, there were four or five of those guys. Bart Swain, who was the longtime PR czar for the Indians, helped set that up. But Ryan Garko was a great SoCal guy coming up. played at Stanford, played in the big leagues. He is now the head baseball coach at the University of Pacific. But Garko was a great, great jungle guy, great listener, and a great jungle participant as a major leaguer. Anyway, he put it all together, and he brought CC in, and it was great. So I've always been a big CC guy, and of course, following his career. So now he's 18 years in. I mean, like in a blink of an eye, CC Sabathia is 18 years in to a major league career, and it's been an awesome major league career. He won a World Series. He won a Cy Young Award. He's a six-time All-Star. He's a dude who has taken the ball in big game after big game in his career. And he's the kind of rock who provides the sort of veteran leadership the teammates have to respect. Teammates love CC. And all of that was before what he did last night. Because there are good teammates. And then there are great teammates. And then there's CC Sabathia. Yesterday afternoon, CC was just two innings away from cashing a bonus check worth a half a mil. All he needed was two more innings to hit a performance bonus of 500 grand, 155 innings. And believe me, he knew. He knew what he had to do going into that game to make an extra half a mil. Rays pitcher Andrew Kittredge went way too up and way too in on Yankees catcher Austin Romine. Big man wasn't having that. So even though he was cruising at just 54 pitches through five innings, and the Yankees had already buried the Rays, who died a long time ago, 11-0, and CC had a half a mil on the line, all he needed was six more outs to get that half a mil. And again, they're up 11-0. He's dealing. It's an easy day. Rays catcher Jesus Sucre came to the dish to lead off the very next inning, and Sabathia went and did what any legend would.
And he hits him, and now CeCe just lost himself $500,000 as he's thrown out of the game. That was the perfect guy to throw at, Sucre the catcher, after they threw at Romine, and that's why CeCe's teammates love him, David.
CeCe don't play.
Now, the reason I said it cost him $500,000, not about a fine, if he pitched seven innings today, he would have reached an innings plateau that would have given him a $50,000 bonus, and he was well on his way to doing that. He'd thrown just 55 pitches, coasting $500,000, not 50. He's got 55 pitches on the day, but he felt, hey, it was more important to send a message after they threw behind the head of Romine. He was going to plunk their catcher, and he did, and he gets thrown out of the game. So he backs up his teammates at a very costly personal price. And if you asked him, David, he didn't care.
Could care less.
SES Network. And CC don't play. Hey, listen, when he said that that was a $50,000 deal, you know, for 50 grand for CC Sabathia, he's probably walking around with that money in his back pocket. He could probably pull 50 grand out of his ashtray in his car. He could probably go into a cushion and get 50 grand. 50 grand, maybe you do that. 500 grand? I don't know. He just lit a half a million dollars on fire to have his catcher's back. Right? That wasn't one of the ultimate stars on that team either. I mean, a guy was important for sure. That wasn't Aaron Judge he did that for. He did it for his catcher. Of course, he's a starting pitcher, but he did it for his catcher. He took 500 GER out of his checking account because he was not about to let the Rays get away with running four seams under his backstop's chin in an 11-0 blowout. And as he walked off the bump, there's more to this story. Not only did he light 500 grand on fire and knew exactly what he was doing, as he walked off that bump to take the most expensive early shower in the history of plumbing, the TV cameras caught CC pointing and yelling at the Rays bench. And while I'm not a lip reader, I'm going to go ahead and give this one a shot. That's for you, bitch. Listen, I think you know where I stand on the unwritten rules of baseball. They're unwritten for a reason, because if you took the time to write them down, you'd realize just how stupid they really are. But what CC Sabathia did to me is incredible. What CC is awesome, because that's a dude who does lead from the front. You don't believe me? Go ask his business manager. Go ask his accountant. And sure, some haters will come in and say, big deal, Rome. These guys make millions and millions of dollars. Right, they do. But that's still a crazy amount of money. Warren Buffett is not going to go out there and defend one of his eye bankers by throwing 500 grand in the fryer. Bill Gates is not going to stick up for the dudes on the XL team by slashing six digits from his net worth. You don't see Mark Zuckerberg throwing his wallet in the pile and rolling up his sleeves after Tom from MySpace talks some junk about one of his guys. But when some anonymous reliever goes mid-90s over his catcher's grill, CC ain't asking questions about tax write-offs. He's humping up and bringing everything he's got to defend his dude. And as CC said post-game in the clubhouse, quote, it is what it is. I gotta say, what it is a man's game.
Man's game move,
CeCe. And again, I'm not here to defend the old school or the unwritten rules. Once again, the reason they're unwritten is if anybody actually wrote them down and we all read them, we'd see how stupid they are. This, to me, is different. And it's the reason why his teammates love him. And after coming home, 500 grand lighter in the wallet, it's also better to be, it better be a free dinner from his catcher the next time the big man's out on the town. Hey, I'll tell you something else about this, too. We are talking about a guy who's 38. I mean, that's an amazing moment because it might be his last moment with the Yankees, which makes the whole thing even more unbelievable. He's 38 next year. He's a free agent. And even though he still wants to play, they may not bring him back. They probably won't bring him back. And unless they get him into a game this weekend as a reliever, or they can add him to the postseason rotation and get him a shot, what if that was the last pitch that he makes in pinstripes? That's a hell of a way to go out. 500 grand lighter. Hell of a way to go out in one of the most brass ways ever to go out. And not only was that not lost on the guys in his own clubhouse, that was not lost on guys around Major League Baseball. If the Yankees don't sign him, I don't know, maybe the Astros will. Because Alex Bregman tweeted last night to CeCe, quote, mad respect. I would play with you any day. End quote. You and everybody else, Bregs. You and everybody else.
CeCe, don't play.
CeCe, don't play, man. I've seen a lot of things in baseball. I've never seen that before. And that's not even a guy caught up in the moment who was doing the old school thing. I mean, CeCe Sabathia was not going to let that slide. You know that. But that wasn't a case of, oh, damn, I forgot about that incentive I had. I forgot about that half a million. You think that guy didn't go into that game knowing what he needed to do to get $500,000? He knew. He knew and he didn't care. Dear Rome, CeCe must not know the exchange rate from dollars to donuts to give that 500K up so easily. Dan in Denver, RTN. Adam. Adam Hawk. Jim Rome here. Put your headphones on. Dude, you are charged with running that side of the room, right?
Yes, and it's an honor.
What is the process for determining which email gets to my desk? Because I don't know if you got the memo. Dan in Denver's emails suck.
Lately,
he's been coming in a lot more often, and I'm not really sure why that is. This guy just sent me an email, and I read it on the air, the exchange rate of dollars to donuts. Either you don't know a good email from a bad email, or you're not running that room. But there's no reason why I should keep seeing these things. I can't delete his emails fast enough on my own computer. Why do you keep bringing me the emails?
I thought it was funny, but I was wrong. I'm sorry.
It happens a lot. It happens to you all the time. No, that's not funny. The exchange rate of dollars to donuts is not funny, but to two people, you and Dan. All right, keep doing bad work. Hey, Adam, one more thing. Do better.
You got it.
Do better.
I will.
Do better. Jim, those people at the game last night were only there for the Instagram photo ops. Thanks, Nick and Westchester. Were irate using police pat-downs as massage therapy. Wow, now see, that's different. Those people at the game last night were only there for Instagram photo ops. Thanks. That's not bad. Nick and Westchester. War irate using police pat-downs as massage therapy. Also not bad. All right, you've redeemed yourself, Hawk. Hey, notice, if you're new to this show, you probably think, yeah, this is just Rome doing what every host does, berating his staff. if you know anything about this show, before Hawks showed up, I never did that. I never had to. When we return, the third hour, busy hour, Sam Farmer, Alvy's week that was, the ATP, and I do have time for your telephone calls. And I want to talk about the Rockies, the Colorado Rockies, all of a sudden controlling their own fate and destiny. That's still ahead.